Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
On ESPN 710. Oh, there you are. All right. I waited as long as I could, George.
Well, I'm sorry. I went upstairs to get water, and then I realized my 18-month-old had five, like, cheese crackers in his mouth at the exact same time. And I'm like, what? And no one was around. I'm like, what is happening here?
Well, he could have choked. Excuse.
Yeah. So I was trying to get them out, at least some of them out of his mouth, because his mouth was so full that he couldn't even chew. Like, he was
choking. He'll choke.
He would choke, yes. So I had to make sure to deal with that for a second. It was those. Have you ever seen those little Trader Joe's cheese crackers? They're like really small. They're like the size of like a quarter.
They're delicious. Yes, we have them.
Yeah. So he had like a bazillion of those in his mouth. I was like, what is going on here? And by the way, there were at least two or three more in the bowl. He was going to try to keep stuffing his mouth with them.
Oh, geez. It's like.
And then he started crying, which made. Right. Then he starts crying, which made it worse. Because then I'm like, oh, now he can really choke. And so I had to, you know, I had to calm him down. I picked him up and then I let him chew and I told him to chew and he chewed. And it killed them all. But good Lord.
Not this is what you need, Arya.
Yeah, not what I needed right now. Yeah, for sure. All right, this segment, thanks to Dave McMiniman for joining us there. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Dave McMiniman and Ramona Shelburne appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Just because sports isn't going on doesn't mean sports trolling isn't going on. And if you're a Laker fan right now, or even just a LeBron fan, I know that there are people that are just LeBron fans, you're going to have to listen to this, and I need your reaction to this, because I've got my own reaction to this, and I'm going to give it to you here in just a second, because this is just like an epic troll. Like, just like, really? Like, this is where you're going right now? Like, it just, come on. Like, you are, and the worst part of it is the person who did it is someone I get along with, someone I like, and I'm like, come on, dude, you can do better. So, I found this on the internet. Actually, Bergman, you found this on the internet. And it's from Fox Sports 1, the Speak for Yourself show. That's the Whitlock Marcellus Wiley show. And they had Rick Bucher on. And Rick Bucher, who, again, someone I know, I'm friendly with, but he, let's just say historically, he has had some interesting LeBron comments. And here's what he's dropping on you today.
Not finishing the season, so by default, it is a desire to play in front of fans. But the desire to play in front of fans is really a cover for, I don't want to play these playoffs when I know I'm going to be at a disadvantage. You're right. The age is a factor. And while we may look at him and say, man, he doesn't look 35, he knows he's 35, and he knows that he's calibrated things very carefully this season in order to not look 35. But the reality is 2 months off, having to start from zero, playing with one of the oldest teams in the league, he knows that their chances, he's now at a disadvantage in terms of being able to get this done. And he looks much better if there is no resumption of the season, and we just look at it and say, well, LeBron had the Lakers in first in the West. If it hadn't been interrupted, if it hadn't ended, he very likely would have gotten a championship in Los Angeles, whether he ends up getting one down the road or not. So coming back, LeBron's always been very careful to make sure everything's skewed to his advantage. This is one situation. If we come back and play at his age with his team, he will not have that advantage.
So let me dissect this a little bit. So LeBron doesn't actually want to come back. This is the theory. LeBron doesn't actually want to come back. He's using the, I want to make sure I play in front of fans as a cover, because he doesn't want to actually come back, because he knows that, according to Rick, he doesn't have the best chance of winning. So this is what I would do. I would invite Rick on, but Rick isn't allowed to come on the show. We've asked for him before, and he has got a contract to Fox and Entercom, and he can't come on the station. So because he can't come on the station, I'll just kind of lay this out for you real quick. Let's start with this. LeBron already walked back the original comments of playing in front of fans because he said that. And then clearly, a couple days later, walked it back because he had spoken to the league about it being the only real possibility about actually getting on the floor and finishing out these games. The other part of the equation that I would say is, do you believe that LeBron James, at 35 years old, knowing that, let's face it, even someone like him who has been a cyborg for years and has been defying Father Time, literally giving Father Time the stiff arm for this long, doesn't understand that there's probably another year or two of his peak left? And you don't, do you honestly not think that he understands that next season will only be even more difficult because the Clippers will have been together for another year, because the Warriors will be back next year, because KD and Kyrie will be back next year? Like, do you honestly don't think that he doesn't think that way? Right? Like that's just illogical to think that he wouldn't understand that next year will actually be tougher than this year. This is the best chance that LeBron will have to win a championship. We've been talking about it since day one, that they need to win this year because of all the things I just outlined. The other part of the equation is he mentioned age. The Lakers have one of the oldest teams in the league. Do you know who also has one of the oldest teams in the league? Now, granted, there's almost a two-year difference in the average age, but the Clippers don't have a young team by any stretch of the imagination. By the way, you know who also has... There are two teams that have an older average age than the Lakers. Do you want to know who those two teams are? One is the Houston Rockets, which is the team that a lot of people have said, well, you know, maybe we'll give them a puncher's chance because of Russ and James in a short series. And the other team, the team that's the oldest, that has the oldest average age in the entire NBA this season, is the team that I'm sure most people have as at least a top three team in the NBA, but more than likely a top two team, and maybe even the team that wins the championship, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks' average age is even older than the Lakers. So if this isn't an all-time troll by my guy, and I love you, Rick, but come on. Like, I poked holes in that in 2 seconds. Like, you don't think, like, do you honestly? There's no way you can honestly believe that. Now, maybe you did, but you didn't think it through. But good Lord. Like, if you think that LeBron thinks it's going to be tough now, what is he going to think about next season when he's a year older? It just doesn't even make sense. And again, I love Rick, but I remember having battles with Rick in 2010, 11, and 12, where he was trying to convince me that Derrick Rose was a better player than LeBron James because he, quote unquote, wasn't afraid of the moment. And, you know, I mean, fine. I mean, even if you wanted to make that the case, I mean, to argue that Derrick Rose, as great as Derrick Rose was at his peak, was anywhere near as good as LeBron James is just ridiculous. And I told him that at the time, so I'm not saying anything I didn't say to him back then. I mean, it's just crazy. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. 877-710-3776. I need Laker fan to be fired up right now because I mean... Am I missing anything? Is there anything I'm missing in poking holes in this theory that LeBron wouldn't want to play the rest of this season out? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Bergman, how do you feel about this?
It's just absolute nonsense. You hit every single point that I was thinking of. It gets tougher next year. His age gets more next year. This is the year that this is all going to happen. There's just no sense to any of what he's talking about. And this happens all the time. Everything that he says, I feel like he just is trying to be Skip Bayless, but he can't actually get to that level.
Well, I don't want to do that. Like, listen, I'm not doing that. Like, that, you can say that. I'm not saying that. Like,
you don't.
Rick has always had, like, this thing with LeBron. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's you know, it's been a thing. Like, I can tell you as someone who's documented it and had these conversations with him for years, but I'm not, I don't want to do that. Like, that's not what I want to do. But yeah, it just seems silly.
Yeah, it's just, it's silly nonsense. It's like, all right, how are we going to get ratings today? How are we going to get, it drives me nuts listening to things like that, because it's there's no sense behind it. It's just like, I'm going to say this today.
All right. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. I'm curious to hear what the fans think. 877-710-3776. We'll open up the phones for you. Real quick, 710-ESPN wants to spotlight and give a shout-out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. Obviously, a lot of these seasons weren't finished, and a lot of the school year isn't may or may not get finished. So there's a lot of stuff up in the air. And you can nominate a classmate, friend, or yourself, friend of a family, whatever. Here's how you do it. Email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. That's ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, and provide first and last name of the person you're nominating, the city that they're located in, the school, and the sport. And, or you can post a short video of yourself or a classmate on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710SeniorShoutout. Each one of our shows will highlight one of those seniors each and every day next week. So be sure to listen to hear your senior on 710 ESPN. So make sure you do that. ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, or tag us on our social media feeds with a nominee at 710SeniorShoutout. That's the hashtag. So I'm going to take your calls next on this nonsense. Plus, coming up next, one of the best games ever, but one of the worst for LA, is going to be highlighted on ESPN this week. We'll tell you what it is in a second. Sit down over here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Home Quote Explorers, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. DeMarco Farr is going to join us in the next segment, talk some football with him. But that Rick Bucher thing, if you missed it earlier, this is from Speak for Yourself on Fox Sports 1. And he just goes on a all-time LeBron troll. Like, even now, using his words against him is pretty fascinating stuff. Go ahead. Let me hear it one more time.
Not finishing the season. So by default, it is a desire to play in front of fans. But the desire to play in front of fans is really a cover for, I don't want to play these playoffs when I know I'm going to be at a disadvantage. You're right. The age is a factor. And while we may look at him and say, man, he doesn't look 35, he knows he's 35, and he knows that he's calibrated things very carefully this season in order to not look 35. But the reality is, 2 months off, having to start from zero, playing with one of the oldest teams in the league, he knows that their chances, he's now at a disadvantage in terms of being able to get this done. And he looks much better if there is no resumption of the season, and we just look at it and say, well, LeBron had the Lakers in first in the West. If it hadn't been interrupted, if it hadn't ended, he very likely would have gotten a championship in Los Angeles, whether he ends up getting one down the road or not. So coming back, LeBron's always been very careful to make sure everything's skewed into his advantage. This is one situation. If we come back and play at his age with his team, he will not have that advantage.
All right. I mean, that's just absurd. I mean, that's it. There's no other way to describe it. I mean, come on. You know, using it as a cover when he already went back on the whole fan thing because he realized, oh, yeah, we're probably going to have to play without fans. And by the way, McMiniman said earlier about him not wanting to play in an isolated, you know, incubated city or whatever. He's probably going to go back on that too, because if that's the way they get in the season, he knows that's the reality, that this is his best chance to win a championship. He's got a healthy Anthony Davis, which, let's face it, we can't take for granted, right? He's been healthy this year. He's been great. And he's only getting older. And the league is going to get harder next year. So, like, I just don't buy any of it. And just the age thing seems silly when the Bucks have an older team. Granted, their star isn't as old as LeBron, but the rest of their team is pretty damn old. So, yeah, I just feel like it's silly. It's just trolling for the sake of trolling. Come on, Bucher. You're better than that. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Bergman, I know you're a UCLA guy, but ESPN is going to show on Thursday, they're going to start showing classic college football games. And the first one this Thursday at 5 Pacific is going to be USC Texas, the Vince Young game. And I feel like there is that game was as hyped as any game we've seen in a really, really, really long time because of the matchup going into it. You know, USC was, I believe, on a 34-game win streak, if I recall correctly. You know, Vince Young in Texas, it was their first time back in the national championship game in a bazillion years. And for it to kind of fall apart, basically, for USC the way it did, and for Vince Young to take over the game the way he did, it is one of the most classic games we have in the sport. Unfortunately, LA came on the wrong side of it. And there's so many little intricacies to that game that you could point back to and go, oh, if this would have happened. Like, we did the what-if stuff the other day. It's funny. I don't think anyone brought this game up, right, when we did our what-ifs last week.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a good one. All I remember from that game is I was so happy that Texas won that game.
Right, because you're a UCLA guy.
Right, absolutely. So most people out there are going to say, oh, you just hate USC. Yes, that's all very true. I hate USC. But it all came down to one thing. So Reggie Bush tried to lateral on one play, and it became a fumble, and Texas recovered. A little bit later, Vince Young lateraled to one of his guys, and it actually went through. And that was one of the biggest plays of the game, that it worked for one and not for the other.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's just incredible the way that whole thing kind of played itself out. Is that the greatest performance, single game performance, against an LA team?
I mean, I can't really think of another one. We were talking about this earlier. I think the Tyronn Lue game in the, was it 2000?
Allen Iverson?
The Allen Iverson.
But that's just one game. Like, you know what I mean? In a seven-game series. I don't think it's as big. I agree that was an amazing game by Iverson to even just get a game against that Shaq and Kobe team. But, right. You know, is it, you know, he didn't win the series.
No, they didn't win the season. No, they got blown out in the next four games.
Right,
but
right.
Another one could be Paul Pierce when they won their championship against the Lakers, and he had that wheelchair game that apparently, according to Paul Pierce,
he had to poop.
Just had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. He had to poop really bad.
Is that not one of the greatest just answers to why something happened?
Oh, my God. It's great. It's hilarious. I mean, I love Paul. He's my guy. Paul Pierce, how about the Pistons, right? Like Tayshaun Prince, Chauncey Billups, who won the MVP, right? That was a pretty good performance.
That was a great performance. And I'm mostly who sticks out to me in that series has always been Wallace. And just the fact that he was getting double digit points.
Well, and he didn't have to, even though Shaq dominated in that series, Ben Wallace allowed them to single Shaq. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas that was kind of their strategy. But I still think that the greatest single game performance against an LA team is got to be Vince Young. Like, maybe someone else out there has a better one at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. But I feel like that one's going to be hard to top. Speaking of what ifs in that game, what if Pete Carroll had left Reggie Bush on the field and still given the ball to Lindell White on that 4th-and-1? Like, just having the, you know, the versatility, like having Texas have to defend the potential of having Reggie on the field. Like, that to me is arguably the biggest what if of that game.
Well, it's just an insane move not to have both of them on the field because of what you're saying. The fact that you have to guard both of them. You can't just stack the line because you know that Lindell White's going to get it. It didn't make much sense. I mean, that's twice that
With the Seahawks, right?
Yeah, with the Seahawks, where he didn't give it to Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch,
if you want to say something bad about Pete Carroll, which, you know, I can always find a way to do, then those are two of the big ones that he didn't learn from his mistakes.
877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Colin in Chino Hills. What's up, Colin?
What's going on, Joyce? Never called in before, man, but a huge fan of yours.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Hope you're safe.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to touch back to your boy, Rick Bucher, over here, hating on LeBron. Let's be real. LeBron is he's a gamer. There would be no reason for him to want to not play basketball.
No, of course not. And again, just when you think about him getting older, like using the older thing as a crutch, it's actually going to get worse for him as he gets older. So why wouldn't he want to try to finish this season out?
Correct. His body for the last 10 years has been dialed in to go to the finals. So I don't know what Rick is possibly thinking when it comes to LeBron kind of like shying away from the NBA season. It's ridiculous.
Colin, thank you, buddy. Stay safe, okay?
All right, you too, man.
All right, let me grab Paul and Watts. Paul, good to talk to you again, brother. How are you?
Hey, how you doing today, my man?
I'm good. I just tried to save my child from choking on cheese crackers. But other than that, I'm fine.
Man, I heard, man. You had to go to the 911 rescue, I see.
But, I went into my own 911 rescue mode.
That's what it said. But I know you you cover LeBron for a long time, so I do agree that, you know, Rick Bucher is kind of, you know, LeBron hater. But we was just talking about this weekend. He do got kind of a point because, you know, I'm a little older. I ain't going to say my age, but I have my son's 15 now. He's a varsity basketball player. So I kind of crossed over to the, you know, the old man age. So when we run in and we go out, and I know you play basketball, we go out and we get on the court and we got, you know, our team, our friends, we get out here and we get a couple wins and we want to stay on the court because we know if we go sit down for like a couple games, it's kind of like over. It's ice bath time. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of understand a little bit what he's saying, because if you just come back to the playoffs with not really having finishing the regular season, because I think LeBron would need those 15 games to rev back up to where he was already at, because 2 months is a long time.
I'm with you, Paul, but my understanding, and I'm not reporting this so the aggregators out there can relax, but my understanding, just kind of talking to people, I get the sense that there will be like almost like an abbreviated training camp again, like for like a week or two. They'll finish out a couple of games of the regular season, so you're almost treating those like exhibition games, even though they'll count for the real standings. And then they'll jump right into the playoffs. So it's not like he won't have, if they do it the way I assume they're going to do it, it's not like he won't have any runway to get there.
Got you, but my cousin, I ain't trying to name drop, but my cousin is Bernard Pollard, so I don't know if you know who that is.
Played in the NFL, yeah.
Yeah, so we're from Indiana, so I know I moved to California, but that's my first cousin. So we were just talking this weekend about the same thing. And he was saying it's a big difference, though, because when in these playoffs, you got a lot of young teams that's getting there for the first time. And them 25-year-olds, they always ready to go play. You know what I mean? We kind of got to rev it back up. And if they only give us like 4 games, is that enough time to get into a physical series to get back up after 2 months? That was my only point.
Gotcha, Paul. Thank you, brother. Stay safe.
You too, man.
All right. Take care. Paul and Watts. 877-710-ESPN. If you want to hop aboard, 877-710-3776. Who else do we have, Laura? I'm sorry. AJ at Inglewood. AJ, what's up?
Hey, what's up? What's up? ¿Cómo estás?
Hey, muy bien. Gracias.
Two things. Two of the greatest performances I've seen was Sleepy Floyd against the Lakers, and then Isaiah when he had that sprained ankle.
Oh, Isaiah on the sprained ankle is a great one. Yes, the Isaiah one. I remember it. I was a young kid, but I remember watching it. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, as far as LeBron is concerned, that's totally ridiculous. You know, we all know Father Time is undefeated, and you only have so many chances, and you don't want to have a wasted. So why would you give up on a season? You know, you got to do what you got to do. Maybe he's getting some rest. It may help. You never know. You know, we just could get our little continuity back. We were playing so well. So, you know, the competitor in him, there ain't no way he's going to don't want to play. That's just utterly, totally ridiculous.
Yeah, man, I'm with you, AJ. Thank you, brother. Stay safe, okay?
All right, peace out.
There you go. All right, coming up next, we'll switch gears, talk some football with our buddy DeMarco Farr. Stick around for that. We're back in just a moment, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Ramona Shelburne and Dave McMiniman for joining us earlier. If you missed them, feel free to subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcast, or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts for your particular device. DeMarco Farr joins us here now on the Sedano Show. DeMarco, hope you're safe and sound. I know I ran into you at the grocery store a couple weeks ago. It might have been a couple weeks ago. I don't remember anymore, but it feels like a couple weeks ago.
It was a couple weeks ago. Yeah, stay out of my store, dude. That's my store. Come on, Al. You can't be big-timing me now.
That's a great store.
All that people are asking me, is that George Sedano? I'm like, no, I don't know who that is.
Well, I had no product in my hair. You liked the no product in the Sedano hair.
This is true. Well, you should see me. Well, this is the reason why you won't see me until I get a haircut. Absolutely. I look like my father right now.
How are you guys doing? Everyone okay?
Yeah, we're hanging in there, man. A little stir crazy in the house, but I'd rather be that than, you know, I'd rather be safe first. So we pulled the little one out of school, so my wife has been homeschooling, and I've been doing all I can to help out.
You know? Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
How about you? Everything good in your house?
Good. Everything's okay. I was just joking, but also serious, that I walked out to get some water outside of this makeshift office I've created here. And I noticed my 18-month-old had about 5 cheese crackers in his mouth. And I'm like, that can't be safe. So I made sure to, you know, then he started crying, which made things worse. Yeah.
Yeah, my kid doesn't sleep. She recharges. I mean, yeah. She's got so much energy. She just goes and goes and goes. And, like, every time she goes, I call her teachers and say thank you because I didn't know she was like this during the day.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's incredible. There is a lot more appreciation. Clearly there's appreciation for healthcare workers and first responders right now. But teachers, there needs to be an even bigger appreciation for them too. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt.
All right. So let's talk about a number of things. Let's start with the Rams and then kind of work our way big picture to the league. A lot of people leaving, a few people staying. What did you make? Let's start with just kind of on the offensive side, right? Like Gurley's gone. Were you surprised that they couldn't get anything for him? How did you feel about the whole thing?
Yes, no, surprised. No, because when you kind of recognize body language and how things go when guys are on certain football teams. Like, you can tell when a guy knows he's going to be gone in the next season, or it just doesn't work out. He's not a big part of the offense. He's not producing like he should or like he used to in the past, so you kind of know when a guy has reached his end. But the only sticking point was that contract. Well, you can't let him go. If you let him go, you're going to eat a ton of money. So it was a weird conundrum to be in. So when they let him go, I was a little bit surprised, but surprised that they chose to just bite the bullet and, you know, eat the money. But as far as production, as far as performance, I mean, you know, I hope Todd gets it right. When Todd is that guy, Todd is a monster. But, I mean, when Todd isn't that guy, it just put too much pressure on the O-line, put too much pressure on Jared Goff, and that's not something you want to do if there's going to be a 2020 season this year.
Right, and we'll get to that part of it in a second, too. If there is, though, a 2020 season, what do you expect to see in the backfield? Do you think they could draft a guy, maybe bring in another free agent, or do you believe they'll go with some semblance of what they have?
I think you're going to be honest, man. I love Malcolm Brown. I think he's tough as nails, but, you know, you kind of hold your breath because he's been banged up, you know, for the good parts of the last two seasons. So that kind of gives you pause. Darrell Henderson is a guy we saw flashes from, but not enough. And, you know, he made some big plays for the opposition as well. So I think you're going to have a stabilizing veteran type presence, you know, in the offense, or at least in training camp, to see if you can get these guys through training camp, to see if you can trust them. But for the most part, look, it really doesn't matter who's carrying the football. It only matters what's up front. So I was really happy that Witt came back because there's a left tackle you don't have to teach. I was happy that Blythe re-signed with the team because there's a center guard, another guy you don't have to teach. I think Bobby Evans is your right tackle. At least he was for the rest of the year. But what do you do with Rob Havenstein? So, you know, if you can get that offensive line to have some sort of continuity like you had a couple of seasons ago, then I think a running game by committee would be effective in this offense.
Yeah, and look, the offensive line did not start off so great, but the last four games or so, they started to play better. I do think that if you can get some cohesiveness there, I'm with you. I mean, it helps the running game, which then helps Jared Goff, which clearly helps the passing game. But I do think there is a lot of, maybe not a lot of pressure, but there's more pressure on Sean and the coaching staff, right, than there maybe has been in previous years. Is that fair to say?
Well, definitely fair to say. I'll say this. I mean, Jared Goff had trouble behind that offensive line. He had trouble behind the replacements when you had to reshuffle mid-game or different starting lineups. When he had the same five guys in front, you put them in the Pro Bowl, they went to the Super Bowl. When it was in flux, he struggled. Now, if you put Lamar Jackson behind that same offensive line, he'd be able to do something because he can run. So it's up to Sean McVay, it's up to this coaching staff, it's up to this football team to keep continuity in front of Jared Goff, because he is not a guy that can make chicken salad out of you know what. So he needs a set group. He needs good protection to be effective. If not, it's going to be a struggle for him to move the football.
Not that, again, you don't have a crystal ball, but what would be your best guess on Brandon Cooks' future?
You know what? It's dangerous. That last one, that last hit to the head that knocked him cold when, you know, he was out for an extended period, you started to worry about the guy's long-term health. And I know players. I've been in that helmet. I saw Wes Welker go through it when you want to tell the guy to stop playing because that hit that knocked you out wasn't really a Jack Tatum-style hit. It was a routine shot, and you went out. So it's getting worse for you. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would hate to have a guy like that in my offense, a guy that I'd be afraid to use because I think he's going to get hurt. You're going to be playing with 10 guys. So it's tough. I don't know. My guess is he's going to be in uniform for the Rams. I don't think you can trade him with the injury history. That's just going to be too tough on anybody. So you're going to have to find a way to use him here.
On the defensive side, Wade Phillips is out. New coordinator in. What do we know about him?
You know what? He's going young. I know that he's going to keep the same style of defense, which is good. Guys like Michael Brockers, thank God he came back, and Aaron Donald, no new learning. No new learning for Taylor Rapp. No new learning for John Johnson III. Maybe some different things terminology-wise, but at least the scheme is going to be the same. But he's going to use a lot of what Wade Phillips used. The same sort of, if we get you in a pitcher's count, we're going to come after you with pressure. We're going to give you zone coverage. We're going to make your quarterback beat us down the football field and then take our chances with pressures and whatnot. But still, it's all set up for Aaron Donald to be that guy, to be that playmaker. That's why I'm so happy that you have Michael Brockers coming back, because AD is just the guy you have to let loose. But Michael Brockers is the guy that's out there to be the fence post. He is kind of the elbow of the defense. He holds everything together off the field, on the field, whatnot. So no new learning for them, but you'll see a lot of the same stuff you saw under Wade Phillips in this 2020 defense.
My assumption is Jalen Ramsey is a cornerstone player for this team, considering what they gave up for him?
Oh, yeah. God, heck yeah. You have to re-sign that guy. I mean, and look, everything they said about the guy is true. Just watching him play from afar, you see snippets, you might see game film on him, but seeing him up close and what he does to certain guys and how they just don't look the same when he's over the top of them. So, yeah, that's a guy like Patrick Peterson. When he's out there, he changes things. So that's the guy you want on your side, definitely. So absolutely, get that contract done.
Before we go to some bigger picture stuff on some players, obviously the draft is coming up. It's going scheduled, business as usual. I know that there have been some concerns. I know Mickey Loomis had mentioned that it could be more challenging because you can't get in the war room right together. Do we know, how teams are going to handle this stuff, considering everything that's going on? I know there's going to be no players and families there, clearly no fans. But as far as the teams are concerned, do we know if there's going to be any difference in the way they handle their business on draft day?
No, I'll go off something. I'm sure you read this, what John Lynch just said. There are no excuses, no matter what. The NFL is a no-matter-what type league. So if you can't be in the same room, you're going to have to do it from different locales. But they're all expected to turn in their player grades and, you know, have a consensus on who to draft on draft day. So I'm sure Les Snead is following the same model. I mean, you've got to get it done. Everybody has video machines and laptops and whatnot, so the technology is there to do it from home. Even if you can't be in the same room. So it's terrible that you have to do it this way, but the thing about the NFL is all 32 teams are going through the same thing. So you do the best you can. And look, even in years where you don't have the coronavirus to deal with, the draft is a crapshoot. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what the Rams can pick up and how this actually goes. But the league is going on no matter what. That's always been the NFL policy.
How much more difficult would it be for a team to go off of tape only as opposed to having guys come in for workouts and things of that nature? Do you think that that's overstated, or do you think that's a real cause for concern, especially later in the draft?
I remember, and there was a guy in St. Louis, and he's one of the best position coaches of all time. He was a former head coach. His name is Jim Hannifin. He was our O-line coach, and he would like to get his hands on guys that he was thinking about drafting. And I mean, literally, he would get them in the room and start to push, pull, drag, do whatever, you know, do what defensive line would do to these guys just to see how they would handle it. It's one thing to see them on tape. It's one thing to take them through, you know, the workouts when you get them in or whatnot. But to put your hands on guys, to see them actually do things under stress and try to get them off of their comfort zone to see what they're really like, yeah, that stuff's going to be missed. So there are going to be a lot of guys that aren't drafted because of this. There are going to be a lot of guys that are drafted too high or drafted, period, because of this, because you don't really get a chance to get a look at a guy. So it's your best guess. Let's go with the guy and let's just see what happens.
All right. Are you surprised that Cam Newton is still available?
Not really. I mean, how's that shoulder? How's everything else on his body? I mean, Cam has been through it. I mean, I think of all the NFL quarterbacks, can you name another quarterback that gets hit as much as him in the last 8 years?
No. Yeah. No. So, DeMarco, not only the amount of hits, the type of hits that he takes.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a big dude. This is the one thing I used to say to defenders when they did ask me against playing against guys like Cam Newton, man. Look, don't let him make the decision if he's a quarterback or a runner. If he's attacking your line of scrimmage, go at him like a running back. And they do. If you get fined for it, so be it. But don't get run over by this guy that's 260 pounds. So, yeah, there's some violent running back-type collisions. So if running backs can fall off a cliff, so does Cam Newton. So that's a guy I would definitely need to look at, really look at, and take him through the paces of what I think a practice is before I'd sign him.
Jadeveon Clowney, I saw the report today on ESPN that he's dropping his asking price to $17 to $18 million. I mean, what is he? He's had some injury histories, but like he's had some real success too. Like, what do you make of him?
Honestly, all due respect, I think that's still too high. And I love the plays he makes. He makes some wow plays, but he also gives up a bunch of wow plays. And I think he's coming off a 3-sack season, right, George? 3 sacks?
Yeah.
And you want $20 million per? What the heck has gone on in this league that you think you can command $20 million per season on a 3-sack year? If he gets 20, give Aaron 40. Give Aaron Donald $50 million per season if that guy gets 20.
Lastly, Brady going to the Bucks. What was your level of surprise?
I thought the Niners were going to actually pull this off. I really did. I thought he was heading out to San Francisco. Outside of that, I thought Tennessee had an outside shot. I kind of knew Tampa Bay was going to be done with Jameis Winston, but I never put the two together, Brady going there. So if he wants to stay on the East Coast, you know, he wants to play in the NFC South. I mean, it makes sense. They need a quarterback. He needs a home. Bruce Arians likes that style of quarterback, or at least that veteran leadership. So it works out. So, look, maybe if this guy resurrects Tampa Bay, I mean, he's already a Hall of Famer. He's already one of the best to ever do it. Does that elevate him over Belichick if he can do it in Tampa without Belichick? I would say yes.
Yeah, I actually think that, I use this analogy. It kind of reminds me of Shaq and Kobe. And in this case, Belichick would be Kobe because he has a longer shelf life than Brady, much like Kobe did with, in that Shaq split. I think short term, Tom will have real success, much like Shaq did. But long term, I think the Patriots are still going to be the Patriots eventually.
Now, one thing, didn't the Patriots sign Brian Hoyer?
They did.
Okay, so if Belichick goes to the Super Bowl with Brian Hoyer, I don't want to hear anything else from Tom Brady for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
If he could do it with that guy, then it was him, not you.
Yeah. I would say that's probably not going to be the case. But anyway, DeMarco Farr, Rams on field analyst, friend of the program. Brother, thanks for coming on. Stay safe. We'll talk soon.
Keep those hands washed, man. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. You too. There he is, DeMarco Farr with us here. Hey, coming up next, we've got a crazy April Fool's joke that involved the Lakers. One that would have gotten you very excited. So we'll get to that in just a second. We're back in a couple minutes. Final segment coming up next. Sedano Show with you here on 710 ESPN. If you missed any of our interviews today, whether it was DeMarco, who was fantastic, Ramona and McMiniman, who were also fantastic, check out our entire interview on demand section in the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? We've got a couple of fun April Fool's jokes to get to here in a second. We were talking about how ESPN is going to run USC versus Texas Thursday at 5 o'clock. So it's tomorrow at 5 o'clock on ESPN. Every Thursday, they're going to do a classic college football game at 5 o'clock. And tomorrow, they're kicking it off with USC and Texas. And I was talking to Greg. We were talking about, is Vince Young the greatest single-player performance against an LA team? And I haven't really had any others that feel like I can knock him off yet. But let's try Jesse and Brea. Jesse, what do you think?
George.
Yes, sir.
Really simple. 1977, Reggie Jackson batting three home runs against the Dodgers.
You win. You won. You won. Yes, that's the one. That is the one. Reggie Jackson, Mr. October. That's it right there.
Totally. I'm still
I was born right before then. Like, so I know the story because I'm a Yankee fan. But right. I didn't think about it. Great call. I would imagine you're still hurting. I would be hurting if I were you.
Totally.
Oh, man. Thank you, Jesse. Stay safe, okay? That's the best one, Bergman. Even Dodger Boy, who wasn't even alive, has to admit that.
Yeah, that one was pretty dang good. Or Bobby Thompson with a shot heard around the world could be one.
Right,
of those.
Right.
But this is bigger. This was World Series, three home runs. Yeah. Yeah, this is also single game. Like, that's where I'm trying to figure out. Like, are you talking
Have
about
you watched that game back? I've seen the game back, like on ESPN Jackson Classic game? And stuff, yeah.
Why would I do that to myself?
I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, so I would watch it. Like, so
you know, yeah, you can have fun with it. Yeah. I have no interest in watching Reggie Jackson destroy the Dodgers. That doesn't fit for me.
It is incredible. But Jesse with the best call. So, okay, that's number one. And then Vince is number two.
Yep. Can we give Allen Iverson's 48 points in 2001 to get the only as a single game performance up there?
Yeah, no, it's great. It's in the conversation for a single game. That, you know, it's a little different because it didn't propel them to win the championship. Like Reggie right. Jackson propelled them to win the championship. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know?
Yeah, you know what? It's what's funny is in 1988, Jose Canseco would have been that guy if Kirk Gibson didn't hit the grand slam at the end of the game. So
yeah.
Because he hit a grand slam at the beginning of the game,
right?
Or the home run,
right? Jose Canseco. So, his career could have been a little different, as great as it was. And we know he's a little bit of a strange person these days, but. Even that could have. I mean, that might have propelled him into the Hall of Fame if that would have happened. A two World Series, even with the not getting to 500 home runs like that, that might have gotten him there.
Yeah, maybe if you without all the steroids and the admission of steroids.
Right. You know? Well, yeah. I guess that's true. That probably ruined more than anything else. But at least he was honest. By the way, during that era, no one more credible, as crazy as this sounds, than Jose Canseco, because he was calling everybody out and he was right on every one of them.
He's like, I stuck all of you. What are you talking about? You're lying.
Right. I mean, he was a snitch, but he was also right. He was also the most credible person. Yeah.
Right. That's the thing. He's a snitch. Like, that was a straight up snitch move. Whereas, like, you know, Mike Bolsinger and what's his name from Oakland were not snitches.
Right.
They were whistleblowers.
The Doc tweets us. He says, greatest performance against an LA team. He agrees. Reggie Jackson's three home run in a World Series. Honorable mention. Oh, this is a good one, too. Ozzie Smith's home run in the 85 NLCS. That is a good one, too.
Is that the one where he did the flip, too? Like, yeah.
It was and Ozzie Smith, who never hit home runs.
No, I know. That was like his only home run of the year. I think he had like one.
I'm pretty sure, if I recall correctly, it might have been. I don't know off the top of my head, but I know that. I love, you know, Ozzie Smith was one of the greatest players to play the game, but like he wasn't, you know, a power hitter by any stretch of the imagination. He was the wizard because he was a defensive shortstop, you know? I mean, the best arguably there ever was. So,
Why are you doing this to me about having all these negative things about my LA team?
Oh, sorry. It just made me think because of Vince Young. You know what I'm saying?
It's fine.
So anyway, we were talking about April Fool's jokes, and there's one that involves the Lakers today that's kind of funny that we'll get to in a second. But you, Bergman, you said you have the greatest all-time 710 ESPN April Fool's joke, and you played it on Mason last year?
Yes, just played it on Mason last year. Remember? Do you remember last year we were doing brackets of all the talents, and we put all the talent together and said, you know,
best talent.
And Michael Thompson won the whole thing because he's Michael Thompson,
yeah.
And that was just going to happen. But so it was in the very first round, it was Michael Thompson versus Steve Mason, and I got Mason to believe.
Oh, I remember. I remember now. You got him to think you actually beat Michael.
Yes, and we have the audio of it.
Go, let me hear it.
Michael Thompson in Instagram, in Facebook, in Twitter comments, and somehow came back and beat Michael Thompson in the host bracket.
I'm just happy two ladies are in that studio because I feel like cussing right now.
I think it ranks right up there among my all-time achievements is beating you. And being more popular than you, which I think is the key.
Are you proud of yourself? Does this make your day?
It does make my day.
Ramona, what day is this today?
Oh, April 1st.
Oh!
April Fools! You got killed!
What?
It's April Fool's Day.
Oh, did they do that too? I didn't get it either. Oh, no. I wasn't in on that.
You had no shot, Mace. You were on the Titanic.
I totally forgot it was April the 1st. And now you guys are just effing with me.
You beat Michael.
No, man. That was great.
So good.
That was great. Good job out of you.
It still makes me laugh. I'm sitting here dying laughing because he was so happy. You should have seen his face. He thought that he won. He's like, oh, my God, I came back to win. He was pushing it out on Twitter. He was pushing it out on Instagram.
I remember. I remember listening to that. That was fantastic. Great job by you. Speaking of April Fool's jokes, something called Lakers – LA Lakers UK is a blog, a Lakers blog from the United Kingdom. They tweeted out, according to a move away from the Trailblazers. Lakers are his top of his list of preferred destinations. Lillard is keen on playing with LeBron and Anthony Davis. Hashtag Lake Show. To which it got to Damian Lillard shortly thereafter, and he just quote tweeted, "Do you know what today is?" LOL. So clearly just getting the April Fool's joke out of the way. So there you have it.
God, that was
so Damian
amazing.
Lillard is not going to be a Laker. No, Damian Lillard is not to be a Laker. So sorry.
In our minds, as in Laker fans' minds, he will always be hashtag future Laker. That's it. He's always a future Laker.
I mean, well, look, Damian Lillard, I'll give him credit because he wants to stick it out in Portland. It kind of reminds – you know what? I feel like he's going to end up being like Gary Payton in the sense where maybe he gets one as when he's really old, like somewhere else. I mean, for his sake, to be honest, I kind of hope that he stays there forever.
Yeah, he should be like Kobe. He should stay with that team, with the Portland Trailblazers forever and be known as the greatest Portland Trailblazer of all time.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, not everybody's going to win, man. Barkley didn't win. Ewing didn't win. Like, it doesn't happen to everybody. All right, so make sure, go to ESPN LA Marketing to nominate a senior in college or in high school, a friend, a family member, yourself. Do that and hashtag 710 senior shout out on social media. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Momo. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to McMiniman. Thanks to DeMarco. We love you. Talk to you tomorrow.